you'd open your Bibles tonight, we're getting into 1 Corinthians again. We left off in the middle of chapter 7, and I can see that most of us came back again, so praise God. Again, this is Paul's encouragement through the Lord to put the church in order. And there were some things kind of out of whack, and I just think it's so appropriate for the time and the day that we live in. This was Roman rule at this time, and it was just a free-for-all. Men were just doing what they desired, what was right in their own eyes, and that was even moving into the Christian assemblies. And Paul saw that. He saw that these people loved the Lord, but he also saw how carnal they were, how fleshly the things that were going on. And it was interesting, too, as we've been reading, it really hit two sides of the spectrum in the carnal. The legality came in so strongly at the same time that flesh in the sense of sexual pleasure and deviance and defiancy came in as well. And we all understand is man will sit there and judge one, well, one's worse than the other. No, it all keeps you apart from going into God's best. It all will defeat you if you let that sin reign in your life. And as the Lord is encouraging us here in this study, it's not to pick out individual sins or any of these things. God's just making us aware how weak we are in this body. This is a weak body. It really is. It's strong in spirit, but when it yields to flesh, I'll tell you, every time you're going to be defeated. So again, praise be to God that again, we know that He's for us, and if He be for us, who could be against us? But again, we can say those things, but it's faith. It's faith that makes us strong. It's that love of God. It's the truth in love. It's growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I was thinking again, so many people as of late have been asking me about, you know, I love your church, but really, where should I attend? You know, and it's not, again, not to go at somebody to say, well, sure, we'd love you to fellowship here. And the reason being is I go in there to 2 Peter where it does. It says, grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're just supposed to speak and preach truth and love. I believe by the grace of God we do expound the full counsel of God in this meeting. If you can find it somewhere else, wonderful. Praise the Lord. But it's a rare thing. People are getting caught up into so many different things in today's age of Christianity. However Christ is preached, by the grace of God, we're to rejoice. And I do rejoice. I appreciate anybody in the family of God. But I also do know, and we have to be sincere in this, that there is hindrance being done to the walk and lives of Christians today that are being fed air. So we need to know that that is something that's very serious, that is very rampant. But again, I know if someone has a heart for the things and the deepest things of God, God will reveal those things to them. So that's the faithfulness of the Lord. I do pray that He does encourage those that, again, that are being trying to conform to be popular, to get out of that and get into the truth. What is this all about? Is it about a fleeting, you know, maybe 10 minutes or 10 years or 20 years to be famous, to be popular, to be pleasing to people? Or is it about standing in defense of what's going to be forever? I'm convinced and persuaded that the Word of God is the divine Word of truth. And He said that we'd be rewarded as we do these things willingly. So praise the Lord. All right. We left off in verse 20, and here we go. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Now again, last week we were studying about marriage. We appreciate how God brought the spiritual courtship with Christ out in that. But there's so many things, applications as far as how divine and sovereign this marriage is. Also brought out at the same time the thought of celibacy and how we understand that God said that it's a proper gift. Anything that you have before the Lord, anything that any ability that He's given you, that you give to Him, that's a proper gift that He's given you. And as we read last week, that those that would remain celibate, that's a gift. It's not something that I take as an oath or as a vow or something of that nature. If that's how we're going about it, you can see the destruction that it will reap. And it will. We understand and see, and not just to pick out one religion or another. Any of these religions where there's the requirement that these different ones will try to remain, in a sense, celibate or faithful to Christ in that, you can see the downfall. And it's a rampant downfall. It is. There's no requirement of that in the Word of God. You won't find that. Being married or being single does not make me more spiritual one way or the other. It's the Lord being first in my life. It's seeking God. And it's seeking Him again with everything that He has given us. But it says here, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. What He's saying here is, let me will and do of my good pleasure in your life. Don't you try to pick it. And stay put. Where I've put you, you stay put until I move you. And then we'll move. You want to move with God. It was so wonderful. Again, I was reading. I just took the time again to go back and read about those children in the wilderness. And was thinking about that cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. They had to stay with it, didn't they? You know, they really did. If they were venturing off, it wasn't a while. They would be cooked in the daytime and they'd freeze at night. God showed He was all purpose. He could give them water. He could give them food. He could call it, and there it was. He told them to go pick it up when they were supposed to pick it up. He'd make it good for one day, and then He'd make it good for 2 days. That was just God showing how divine and how nothing was hard for Him. But again, thinking about that, moving with God, that we abide, stay close, harbor in to that same calling wherein He was called. Now, let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And again, it's so precious, brothers and sisters. Let's, by the grace of God, allow Him to answer even in His Word. And as you search the Scriptures, you'll find that. So we'll read chapter 12, and we'll start reading from verse 12. And this is speaking of the body of Christ. For as the body is one, but it hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased Him. Okay. Now, I love how He uses, again, our wonderful body that He has made to show us how we need to desire and be thankful and be content with such things that we have. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Isn't that wonderful? I love to have the peace of God about me. I love to have the peace of God within me. And I've learned throughout my life that I need to be thankful. Thankful first and accept where God has placed me. That's not being complacent. That's not being lazy. It's being content. There's a whole difference there. Whatever I do as unto the Lord. And I do it heartily. I do it diligently by the grace of God. He wants us to do that. He wants us to glorify Him. I tell my kids that all the time going to school. Besides the spanking that they would receive. If they didn't try their hardest. But that would be God's chastening, I tell them as well too. But I'm thankful to those boys. But it glorifies God. It magnifies Him when we do our best. We need to do the best that God has given us. And that's the truth. We need to go out and try. We need to go out and in a sense, you know, people call it risk. It's not risk. It's just going by faith. I appreciate that. I think of the young people. I tell them, go after what God has put before you. Nothing's impossible in Christ. He is the God of impossible. I appreciate the Lord. I was sharing again in my own life. I can tell you, God has allowed me, and He has allowed me. He's enabled me to achieve many things in my life. And yet, a man that stands before you that in so many ways has been totally insecure. And it's the truth. And people would see me and say, oh, no, that's not true. No, you don't know. You don't know these shoes. And you don't want to know them. And I don't want to know yours either. But you know, God's still faithful. And I stand amazed at what He enables me to do, what He enables His children to do each and every day. So that is, again, you know, people looking for miracles, just analyze or look at your life before Him and you'll see it's been miracle after miracle. All right, verse 21. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. That means don't get worried about it. Don't be concerned. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. Go after it. That's fine. Use that gift of freedom that He's given you. But I want you to turn with me to Ephesians 6. And here's the honor that He gives to this servant. I think about so many people in today's world. They don't want to, in a sense, submit to where God has put them. Submitting to your boss under the hand of God is glory. It is. And in Ephesians 6, let's read about it. Verse 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Look at that command. That's a command of the Lord. He wants you to be into that type of a harmony. I was thinking of even this, as it said, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. This is the same kind of thing that He's telling you here. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Now obviously He's speaking to us in today about whatever work we're in, or the bosses that we have. And we've talked about it before. Sometimes we know that that boss has got to be Beelzebub's brother. We know that he's just got it earmarked for me. He's looking forward. He's, you know, rubbing his hands together. Oh, yeah, I've got something for him today. That's the truth. But you even have to think of this. These were actual slaves at this time. These were the ones that were the real servants and slaves. And you have to think that who God was, again, speaking to encourage these ones. Do you believe that God perfects that which concerns you? I believe it. I believe it wholeheartedly. I don't believe anything is by chance. Anything is accidental. Anything. I don't serve a willy-nilly God. He's concerned about the hair on my head. He's concerned, I think, of the little birds and sparrows. My wife feeds more of those in Jefferson County than I think anybody else. But there they are, and God sees every bit of them. Yep. Not one falls that He doesn't know about. He knows my thought afar off. That's how He cares. That's how personal. And I'm so thankful that God has opened His Word to me to know that's how personal He is. Most people I know that even know Christ as Savior, that know Christ as Savior, do not think of Him as their personal Savior. They don't know Him like that. They don't think that He has time, that He cares about everything that concerns me. And you know why they don't think that? Because they don't know the Word of God. I want to know the Word of God. This is to us, brothers and sisters. This is a love letter written personally to each and every one of us. So it goes on to say there, after that fifth verse in the sixth verse of the sixth chapter of Ephesians, so not with eye service as man pleasers. See, that's what other men do. They just try to, oh yeah, sure, you know, the guy that's shaking his head, boss walks out of the room and there their feet are back up on the desk and oh, ho, 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 ha, 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 nobody saw me. Lord does. But as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. See, this is all about the Lord. It's not about somebody else. It's not even about the job I'm doing. It's not how important it is to society. It's not about the contribution that I'm making to mankind. It's about, am I doing it under the Lord? It really is. It comes down to digging that ditch. Did I dig it to the glory of God? If I did that day, I got just as much a reward as whether it was preaching a sermon, whether it was running the United States of America, whatever it would be. Nothing's more important than doing it as unto the glory of the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? That's how important you are to Him. That's how important, and again, every single thing by the grace of God that we do, it's as unto the Lord. And that's, I'll tell you, a check that I get every day. And especially when I, again, would be in the workplace, really understanding this wasn't about gain, in a sense, financially. This wasn't about all those things. Now, that comes along with it. But it was truly, as it says here, doing the will of God from the heart, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men. How many times does he have to tell us that? In those three verses, he reminds us four times. We better wake up. All right. Let's go on to 22. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's freeman. Likewise, he that is called being free is Christ's servant. In John 8:32, we know that the truth has made us free. It makes us free. Praise God. And we understand that. And we understand here too that whether you're a servant, whether you're a freeman, it really doesn't matter. He's not talking about the physical state. He's talking about the spiritual state. He's talking about the state of your heart at this time. And in Philippians 4:11, we'll go over there. I've been quoting some of it, but let's read that together. That's Philippians chapter 4. And let's start with verse 11 here. It says, not that I speak in respect of want. This is Brother Paul. For I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I believe that God has placed me there. I believe that God, again, in His great foreknowledge and love for me, He created those good works that I should walk in them. They were already done. They're finished. The blueprint of winning God's best has already been planned. I just need to walk in it. I need to allow Him to build it in my life. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere. Did you get that? Everywhere. I was talking to my cousin David today. He's on the backside of nowhere there in Virginia. I mean, about an hour and a half from, as I call it, civilization even. And I believe that God is teaching him that everywhere. Isn't that something? Everywhere. Praise God. And in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Now that's the instruction. And God could have left it there, couldn't he have? And we'd all be looking at each other and say, that's a nice thought, but how's that going to happen? Well, again, our exceeding abundant above all that we ask or think, God, doesn't end in verse 12. He goes on and he says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Isn't that wonderful? And in the 19th verse, he even says it a little bit different way. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Jesus Christ. Isn't that precious? It's all there. The sufficiency has been made. My sweet sister, she said, it's like going into that throne room, and for everything I need, it's got my name on it. I don't have to go looking for it. It's just right there. I say, Lord, I need. Lord, I need. Lord, I need. Come boldly to that throne of grace in time of need. Amen. And that's what it is. And that's how the deliverer that we have. So again, he's saying here, being as a servant, I'm the Lord's freeman, but whether I'm a freeman, I am Christ's servant. Brother Paul even said that he was a prisoner of Christ, and he was happy in that. He wrote the joy book of a Bible, of the Bible, in a prison. And not a prison like we have today, but a real prison where there wasn't any amenities, where it was cold, where they didn't have coats, where they didn't really give them much food, probably at all. They didn't have lavatory systems. They didn't have water that was just there. There was no cable TV or periodicals to read. They were shut up. But Brother Paul chose to be shut up to Christ. See, these are the things that really, when I'm going through things in my life, and I don't know about you, but where I'm starting to get a little bit low, we are human. And I'm starting to feel a little bit sorry for myself. And Lord, this is a very lonely place. I'm telling you, He's shown me brothers and sisters in the Word of God that have been in a much harder, more difficult place. But even superseding that is my wondrous Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is tried and tested and tempted in all ways and in everything for me. And He said that He'd be my sufficiency. So again, there's victory. And it's at hand, and it's at every moment. Praise God. So 23, he goes on to say, you are bought with a price. And that's so wonderful again. He's reminding us that, you know, we're His. As we read back there in chapter 6, you're not your own. When you accepted Christ Jesus, you became His. You died. You died. Galatians 2:20, nevertheless, that's right. I live, but it's not me, it's Christ who lives in me. Isn't that wonderful? And we're living by faith, and this is what we're doing this evening, is by grace. He's making us more alive. That's the quickening that He talks about in the Word of God. If you ever want to really be quickened and on fire for the Lord, get truth and love in your life. And by the grace of God, it's coming. It is coming. You're here this evening. You may be going through something. You may be low. I can sense that there's been a real weariness upon this meeting this past month. I've looked out and I can see there's some tired folks. I'm not saying defeated. I'm just saying weary. But He says, I have to weaken your strength in the way. Sister and I were discussing that again and just thinking about that. And that's right. But I also know that the joy of the Lord is my strength. And by the grace of God, I'm going to tell you, I know that those brothers were singing in that fireplace, weren't they? Yes, they were. Hallelujah. You can sing while you're in it. Brother Jerry said, but man, brother, I just really like to look at when in the rearview mirror when God let me out of it. And I said, you know what, brother, He's teaching me? Just throw out that rearview mirror. I don't even want to look back. I just want to say praise be to God. Amen. Forget those things which are behind. It's precious, all those victories and everything. But you know what? He marks them. He's got them to my account. And He told me, let's press on, son. Let's press on. All right. So He says, you're bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Now again, He's just got through telling us whether we're a servant, whether we're free, and all of these different things. And we just read in 1 Corinthians, it said, do it heartily unto the Lord, that we need to be in the will of God, and that's working hard. But He said, don't be a servant of men. Now a lot of people turn that around and just try to be defiant. And I've met them. Oh, I'm not listening to so-and-so. He's a jerk. Oh, did you know my boss? He's a fornicator. Adulterer, I can't go work for him. If God has you there, be a witness. And God's not talking about that here. What He's talking about, well, let's read it. Romans chapter 12. Let's read verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. Now, God has put us in this world. We understand that. But we are not to be conformed to it. Again, I think over and over, as the Word of God tells me, as my mom used to remind me, son, where your heart's lying, that's where your treasure is too. It's a real quick check. Isn't it the Word of God? It just cuts so quickly, doesn't it? It's immediate. What is my mind on? Even at this very moment. Am I wandering? I want to be focused into the things of God. I want to have my thoughts on the things of God. I don't want you to be thinking about right now about the trouble that you're going to have at work tomorrow. I've been there, brothers and sisters. I understand that. I understand those things and those thoughts can consume me. But I need to be able to let it go. By the grace of God, I've got to set it aside and I've got to give it to Him. And I've got to say, Lord, this is your burden. Now, I understand it's a sweet thing. And then you tell me, Lord, that your yoke is easy. I want to be in harmony with you. I want Him to captivate all my thoughts. How about you? I want to have the mind of Christ. I don't want to be worrying about things. This isn't just que sera sera running around. I'm not talking about that. This is serious stuff, and God has put these things before us, but let Him put them in order in our life. And understand that it's Christ first. We commit it to Him. He'll take care of it. And when we have these times that God has divinely given us, let's just not come here in body. Let's enter in and let God give us the Spirit to enter in with Him and be in unity with what God is trying to give us this evening when we come to church. As a pastor, too, I need to be in the same spirit. God convict us. I pray He does. I don't want to miss a thing. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove. See, God wants to prove through you, in you, what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Turn over to Romans 6. We've been going back to this. I believe the Lord's just had us coming back and back and back again to it. Chapter 6, verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Now we understand as Christians, we're saved. Praise God. We have life eternal. But what is being worked in our life? Where is the testimony of the Lord in our life? Where is the spirituality in our life? If we're going to yield our bodies, in a sense, servants to sin, we're not going to have anything. We're asleep. Our testimony is but dead. I want to be alive. I want obedience that's going to work righteousness in my life. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. What a beautiful, beautiful promise. Now, by the grace of God, all I need to do is yield to it. I want to be the servant that's going to yield the members to righteousness and to holiness. And as the Word of God says, don't yield it from iniquity to iniquity. That's that sin that begets sin. A lot of people again think, and again we try to compromise it away in our lives as Christians. Well, I can dabble in that. I can come to church on Sunday and Wednesday and all that, and that's great. And I appreciate it, and that's a wonderful thing. But you think that you're going to have God on your own terms. You're not fully going after Him. Again, this is a meeting by the grace of God that is pointing you to finishing the course with joy. There's a high calling of God that's in Christ Jesus. And it's a captivation of the heart. These aren't works in a sense of something that we could do in our own self-righteousness. That's just going to defeat us. We've been reading that about the Corinthians here, haven't we? But we also understand that we can be defeated in body by the flesh as well too, unto things that are not good for us. The sexual lusts. And brothers and sisters, he brought it out and over and over and over throughout the Word of God. And you know what? He created you and he knows the problems that we have. A lot of people I've heard say, well, why did he do that? Why did he make it so hard? But you know what? Overcomers need things to overcome, don't we? And I believe that there's great victory in those things. And as you trust Him, I've found in my life that He deals with it. And He doesn't give you the desire for it anymore. He'll let it flee. Now, as Brother Paul, though, he prayed for something 3 times to be delivered from his flesh, didn't he? But the Lord said, you know, if I took that out of there, if I took that desire, I took whatever that's hindering you there, you would be magnified. You would be exhorted. You would be glorified. So he learned to trust God that he needed to be dealing with that all the time and to give that to the Lord. Not that he would succumb to it. That's what wasn't what he was talking about. That he was just going to just give way to temptation and enter into it because God didn't deliver for him. No, God had the escape. He had made the way of escape. It was just something that was very tender and sensitive to his life. What do you think of that? You have some of those? Amen. Amen. And God has them for each and every one of us because He knows you. So again, here we go. Verse 24. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called therein abide with God. What a wonderful verse. This sums it all up. Brethren, listen to this. Let every man wherein he is called therein abide with God. Whether you're a servant, whether you're free, whether you're married, whether you're single, abide with God. Abide with God. He says in the Word of God, draw nigh unto me. I'll draw nigh unto you. Now, do you understand that? A lot of people think, well, that means God doesn't love me anymore. See how we can be separated from the love of God? That is not it at all. You can never be separated from the love of God. This is talking about the will of God in your life. You draw nigh unto Him, and He'll draw nigh unto you with His perfect will. And He'll give it to you freely. And you'll be able to walk in it. You'll be able to joy in it. But you have to be willing by the grace of God to yield your life. I have to be able to yield my life and say, Lord, I do want this. I don't want to hold back. I believe you. I believe that there is a race that we're running here. And I believe that when you tell me to draw nigh unto you, you have something for me. You have ability. You can enable me to conquer. And more than a conqueror in your Son. Isn't that wonderful? That's what He's calling us to. Now concerning virgins, in the 25th verse, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. Isn't that precious for Brother Paul? How many times do we have to be hit in the face with it? It's the grace of God. It's His mercy. It wasn't because Paul was a good man. He was the chief of sinners. Isn't that great? And he says, look, I've got judgment now. I've got wisdom to give unto you. I've got godly discernment. Because God has chosen me. That's John 15, 16. Go look it up sometime. It's a precious verse to me. My sweet wife had to give it to me not too long ago. About the 10th time I was leaving you all, knowing that I was a total failure. It's truth. That's right. Okay? It's God. It's not a person. It's God. And this was Paul. And he says, I'm going to give you my judgment. You know why? Because I have obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. I mean, I don't mean to make it comical, but it's almost like the guy said, well, it's because I stayed at the Holiday Inn last night. You know? But I'm not making it light in that, but it's just, it is what it is. It's because the Lord working in my life. It's the Lord that was working in Paul's life. It was just a gift, and it's there to for us, and it's free. He goes on to the 26th verse. I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress, I say. That it is good for a man so to be. What he's saying there is being single, it's a good thing. It's a good thing so we can focus on the Lord. And he says the present distress, and we're in a present distress, and that's the worldly system that we face today. There's many things that pull at us. I appreciate my sweet brother-in-law. Many years ago, he told me, you know, son, he said, you're going to need to intentionally and consciously uncomplicate your life. Do you hear that? You have to consciously uncomplicate it under the hand of God. That doesn't mean you just go lay in your bed and do nothing, but you understand that we can get into so many things, and they can be good things. But what happens is they start to hinder us from going on with God. They start getting in the way of the most important thing. And I mean, they can be just, as the world looks at it, that is so tremendous. God has given you so many talents, and you're burning 28 hours in a 24-hour day. It's amazing. And where was Jesus? I gained the whole world. What's it mean to me if I lost my own soul? Huh? Now I know He's got that to keep Him, but I don't want to miss God's best. See, there's messages within messages there that God's trying to deal with us. But this world, it's a distress. I'm telling you. And I don't want to enter in to the distress. And Paul's saying, but it's a good thing. All right. But art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. See, again, we can try to pick out individual verses. You could have just stopped there before we got to 27. Well, see, honey, gotta go, you know. He said it was better. No. I could hear my dad right now. Shame on me. All right. But art thou bound unto a wife? Oh, seek not to be loosed. What a sovereign and wonderful thing God has given in marriage. But it says, art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. And if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. That means that if, again, that first one he's talking to here, if you've been loosed by that husband or wife, and you do seek to be married again, it's okay. Thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh. But I spare you. But now a lot of people think this, but I spare you, is that Paul's saying there, oh, but the Lord spares you for that. Well, that's a good thought, and he does in a sense. But what he's saying here is, no, I'm telling you, I'm giving you wisdom here. I'm sparing you before you get to that point. Huh? Listen to what the Word of God's telling us. You know, we can watch those that have gone before us. We can learn and glean from the Word of God. We don't need to enter into a lot of these things. I will have to tell you what my dad said. He said, don't get married and don't buy a new car. Those were the two things, see, and if I, never mind. But see, those were things that he had said. But this is what the Lord is saying here. And he says here that nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh. And it's so sweet here because this word trouble means pressed. And if you've ever been married, you have never been pressed until you've been married. And what that means also too is you've been pressed together. God has made you one. And it's so sweet. Sure, there's double the joy, but a lot of people say, yeah, but there's double the trouble. Huh? And sometimes you think when you're in that marriage, well, it wasn't just doubled, it was more like it was cubed or squared or one of those mathematical things, huh? And then as you have kids, so it's like you could have two wife and a husband and then two kids, so that's four, and you think, well, it's eight. No, if you start squaring everything, it gets to 16 and 32, and where, who knows where it went? It's the truth. It's the truth. And God is warning us, and he's warning us very clearly. But again, as he said, it's still better not to burn in that lust. And God is for marriage, and there's such great joy in marriage. That's, as I tell you before the Lord, and I'm not saying this for any reason, to whether it's to embarrass my wife or make you think that, wow, that's great, but I wouldn't have my life any other way. I love being married. I know that by the grace of God, that the man that I've, in a sense, has developed to this day is attributed to so many things, but especially to my marriage. And it's true. With, not just behind, every great man is a great woman. And it's the truth. I really do believe that. And in God, He wants that for your life, if this is the way that He would have you go. And it's a precious thing. So again, there are troubles, though, I want you to all know, especially those that are single, that are there's troubles that are unique to marriage. All right? So you've been warned. Okay. Let's go on to 29. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none. That's John 12:8 that we read about. Jesus said, you don't have always. Be about the things of the Lord. Be about the things of God. All right? You don't have me always. This is what he's telling us. The time is short. Your life is but a vapor. It remaineth that both that they that have wives be as though they had none. So don't let marriage defeat you. No giggling. Don't let marriage defeat you. Right? It's meaning don't let anything get in the way, or be an excuse is really what it is. It's not getting in the way. Marriage doesn't get in the way. You just don't let it be an excuse. Because we're without excuse to win God's best. And that's the truth. All right? A lot of people try to categorize what should be first in my life. I've heard it from many people. Many people that I love so and I respect. But I can only give you, by the grace of God, what the Lord, I really do believe that He's encouraged me. Whether, you know, families first or jobs first or God's first or all of these or ministries first or all of these different things. You know what? Just put the Lord first. Just put the Lord first and put Him first always. And then you know what? It all perfectly falls into place. And I'm not just saying that to be trite about it. It's an absolute fact. You'll find in your life, as you put the Lord first, you'll find that you'll love your wife as God loved the church. You'll be a dad or a mom that will be a godly parent to your children. So do you already see the harmony that's starting to come into your home? Do you see what I'm saying? So then when God has you doing, in a sense, maybe like people like to think of it, God's work. Well, God's work, I hope, is in me. But I'm talking about whether it might be being a Sunday school teacher or a minister or whatever it may be. Your children will have the love of God as well, too. And they'll understand, you know what, I got to share Daddy. And my wife will look at me and she said, oh, there's nothing better, honey. That's because Christ is first. And Christ increases love. And He increases love in households. And He makes things right. He makes things good. It's beyond it. And that's why when people, again, and I appreciate a lot of these different books. My wife was reading a sweet book about marriage. I think it's called Love and Respect. And a sweet thing. about, and this man's a definite child of the King and really loves the Lord. And he said, see how God so divinely said that, husbands, love your wives. Because women, you know all they really want in a marriage? And she said, you know what, I just want to be loved, honey. And a lot of times with men, just the way God created them, talks about women, what are they supposed to do back to their wives? Give them respect, reverence. And a man needs respect. Pretty straightforward. And I thought, wow, how simple. And you know what? When you love, and I mean love with His love, if you're in harmony with God at all, how could you not respect that? And when something respects you like that, that's a love that comes back. How could you not love more? You see how that is? See, love begats love, doesn't it? And such a precious thing. But wonderful. All right, I think we'll press on just a little bit further if we can here. Hope I'm not making you weary, but I love His Word. Praise God. All right. So, verse 30. And they that weep as though they wept not. And they that rejoice as though they rejoiced not. Okay, we'll stop there just for a moment. This is really, I believe, getting at faith versus feeling. Now, I've mentioned this many times before, and a couple of saints have stopped me and said, well, brother, you mean you're not supposed to go, you know, God has made us emotional people. I said, sure we are. I'm very emotional. I get real excited. I can get real angry. I get real happy. I get a lot of different things. But I want the love of Christ to constrain me. That's a big, huge thing. This isn't a life that we go by feeling. This is a life by the grace of God that we go by faith. I've heard of religions. Well, if it burns in your heart, then that must be right. Well, I found out if it burns in my heart, it was something I probably ate. And that's the truth. It is, especially as I get older. Huh? That's right. It's the Word of God. It's that following by the grace of God that He brings us on. Now, He gives us peace, and we know, but I want the mind of Christ. And I want that godliness to constrain me, to not, in a sense, go in, again, being led, whether it's in happiness or sadness or whatever it may be. I need to be in Him. I need to be by the grace of God in His will. And it goes on to say that they that buy as though they possess not. Brother Hill used to say so sweetly, I loved what he said, God's not concerned with what you have, He's concerned with what has you. What has you tonight? What makes you? Is it the house? Is it the car? Is it my job? Or is it because I'm a Christian? Is it because that I know my Savior and He's working His pleasure in my life? And they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passes away. I appreciated there was a brother that spoke on this one time. He talked about pleasure, retirement, vacation. A lot of people use this world for that type of an abuse in a sense. And that's what it's called here, as something that's going to pass away. We need to understand. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that are just so caught up in life. And you think about what the world brings us. It's all about retirement. Think about how many commercials you see about whether it's your insurance or whether it's this or that. Sure, you need to put these things in order. The Word of God says for us to lay up for our children's children, all of those different things. But that's not to captivate your thoughts. That's not the whole goal of life is for retirement. I hope it's not. I can't even imagine a day that I wouldn't be working. That's the truth. I like to be busy about things. I like to work by the grace of God. And if He's given you that ability, I encourage you to do so. Really, I really do. I think it's a good thing, as we've read already this evening. But it says, but I would not have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried cares for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. That means don't be entangled here at the first with the cares of this life. Don't be entangled with those things. But he that is unmarried cares for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. See, it may be easier to yield being single. Absolutely. But But the Word of God here, I really believe, is again, is telling us not just single in a sense of meaning celibacy. I really believe He's telling us singleness in mind, as the Word of God tells us. It's not about environment. It's about what by the grace of God is working in me. So it goes on to say, but he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. Again, I've seen so many try to use that as liberty, how to treat their wife badly. That's not. That's abusing the Word of God. What happened to the due benevolence that we read in this earlier in the chapter? God says, pour them on one another. That's acts of loving kindness. I want to please my wife. But by the grace of God, if we're in tune with the Lord, the greatest way I could please her is to grow up to be the man of God that God has called me to be. And that's to love her as He loved the church. Isn't that amazing how you can connect that back? And you can connect it all the way to the love of God. There's no excuses out here. The Word of God will expose it. The intent of the heart, what's down in there, it's coming out. You may hide it before some people. You may think, you know. But you ain't hiding it before God. He knows. He knows. And I love that He knows. It's not that it's an invasion of my privacy. It's just that He knows. And once I get to that point, I can live free. Because it's just the way it is. Because I'm His creation. I am His. I'm not my own. When I finally get to that point and realize there's such freedom in that, I'm understanding when Paul says, thank God I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. That He can will and do it me of His good pleasure. So wonderful. Verse 34, there is difference also between a wife and a virgin. I'm going to stop here. I think I'm going to stop. By the grace of God, I know you'd like me to go on, but there's so much more. That the Lord, I believe, is encouraging to bring out, especially about bridal truth in this seventh chapter. So, Lord willing, we'll be back in the seventh chapter by His grace next week. And we're going to read about this virgin, and we're going to go back and study about that servant. But I just encourage you to go through and read, and just meditate, too, about that verse where He said there in verse 7, the proper gift. There's something about that proper gift. And pray on that. That God would have us surrender to His perfect and complete will. Hallelujah. Let's stand.